House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake excused. Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Krone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Moniz,
here. Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petrov,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Peters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Vronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
59 present, 1 excused.
Please stand and join in the morning prayer with Father George Gardlows.
Speaker, thank you once again for the honor of being here this week and the blessing of being here to join in prayer once again this morning. Almighty God, we give you thanks for giving us another day. As we consider all the blessings of life, we humbly ask for your guidance, that we may offer diligent, honorable, and cheerful service. We ask that you guard our desires, that we will not deviate from the path of integrity. Strengthen these representatives and keep them above all reproach as they continue this session and their service to the people of this great state. As you guide them in their work here, bless and guide also all those who are here to assist and enable the work done in this chamber. Give us the enthusiasm that comes from knowing the high calling of serving in government. Grant us the wisdom to understand our roles, that we may seek your will and accomplish what is best for this great state through the legislation of this House. Free us from secondary or self-serving goals. Help us to humble ourselves and ask and find answers to how we may best serve today. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll see you in the morning.
Good morning.
I will.
Thank you.
We're at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal February 22nd has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparik, Representative Freeman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 130, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 11, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center. Ayes 14, noes 15, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed.
And today, back there, we have our Doctor of the Day, Tom Radosevich. So if you'd please welcome him.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the several years ago, we tried to use props on the floor, and those of us on the Rules Committee said, made a rule that you can't use props. But behind the bar, there's a box of stuff. Box of stuff that came from various areas in the Capitol building. Now, if you take a look in the chambers or you look throughout the Capitol building, you'll take a look and say, well, it looks darn good. But since none of us have x-ray eyes like Superman, you can't see within the walls. And several weeks ago, they had a flood on the West End because there's a pipe out there that shows why they had a flood. And there are some heating pipes that may have been replaced when the Capitol building went through renovation 50 years ago. But then again, they're not sure whether they did or not. And there's a piece of flex conduit with wires in it. And if you take a careful look at it, you'll notice that it doesn't have a ground wire, and the sheath was used as the ground, and they had a small fire in the wall. So I think what I'm really trying to tell you is that take a look and take a look at the box of junk. It's kind of a show and tell of why we continue to work towards putting money into the Capitol Renovation Fund, why we need to continue to work on a new state office building so that the dominoes fall. But it is a reasonable show and tell of what's going on inside the Capitol building. So we'll leave it out there if you'd like to take a look at it. But it's very telling of what has happened inside. And if you go up, we redid the skylight several years ago, as some will remember. A lot of the pieces upstairs are wood that was placed in the Capitol building when it was built 100 and some years ago. There is no fire suppression anywhere in this building. No sprinkler system, no nothing. So I would just urge you to resist amendments to move money out of the capital construction account.
Chairman Elway.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I would just like you to take a look at the box of junk. I think it's revealing. Thank you.
And just a word about our schedule today. We're going to, at some point, just keep your eyes open. We're going to have Senator Enzi join us. And then we'll take things a little bit out of order in that. We're going to do our third reading consent regular lists, and then we're going to hit our second reading just so that we can make sure we get that third reading stuff out of the way and on its way over to the other side. So With that, the next order of business is Senate files on first reading. And the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to adjustment of child support for an adult child.
Senate File 39 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30, introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming State Highway Patrol Game Warden and Investigator Retirement.
Senate File 30 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds, higher education reserve accounts.
And Senate File 35 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, introduced by Senator Hastert.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to severance taxes, tax trona evaluation.
Senate File 74 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Ruffus.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to reading assessment and intervention regarding dyslexia screening and response.
And Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Cooper.
First reading the bill.
An act relating to licensing for electrical installations.
And Senate File 62 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to real estate brokers and sales agents.
And Senate File 67 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by the Minnow Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administrative procedure.
And Senate File 85 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. We are at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 22, respectfully reports saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, sign representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 23, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, No, Brechtel, Throne, sign representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 77, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 119, respectfully reports saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Gahee, Gingrey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder, No, Barbuto, Kraft, Green, Harvey, signed Representative Harvey, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 17, 72, 90, and House Joint Resolution 6.
Would anyone like to remove any of those bills from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills... Oh, sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
House Bill 17, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to budget hearings regarding local governments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 72, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to school districts, juvenile detention facility placements, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 90, introduced by Representative Lebno, an act relating to natural resources, basic scientific assessments, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 6, introduced by Representative Stewart, a joint resolution requesting Congress to issue a moratorium on the closing of United States Postal Service offices in Wyoming, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake excused. Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lauk,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 17, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 72, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 90, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 17, 72, 90, and House Joint Resolution 6 have passed the House. The next order of business is bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill 93, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to daycare facilities, certification, exemption, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 for your consideration, and I'll remove it at the appropriate time. Friends, I thought that we should have one last look at this bill. House Bill 93 decreases state oversight of daycare facilities by providing another exception for facilities with up to 5 children. I think that this is a bad move. The state oversight is important for both parents and children for 4 reasons. First, yesterday, in the House Education Committee, we passed a bill with unanimous support to increase our oversight of the certification of new teachers through criminal background checks, including fingerprinting. We did it because we really care about the safety of our kids, pure and simple. I know that it might be apples to oranges, state oversight for state money, with schools being public and daycare private, but I think the analogy holds. We need and want assurances that the people and facility associated with our kids are safe. Second, state licensing of child care facilities assures some minimal health and safety. It assures the child care providers have passed a criminal background check, have CPR training, have some training, and are healthy. Third, maintaining some rules as they currently exist doesn't take away parental choices. Parents can choose to have a babysitter or have a neighbor, for example, watch their kids for pay. This doesn't change that. And finally, parents. We had testimony in committee when we heard this bill from some good parents, who told us that they want and they appreciate state oversight. They didn't know to ask if a provider had CPR training, but were more than glad that we did, that we asked that question. When parents check out a place called something like Tots Are Happy All Day Long, they assume that that's a business that's regulated, that that regulation is about safety. If a neighbor cuts my hair, I assume that she's not licensed and I take all the risks that are associated with it. But if I look at a place called Tots Are Happy All Day Long, I assume that that place is safe. I think that our parents and our children should have the same kind of assurances as when I walk into a hair salon and assume that it's safe. So therefore, I ask us to reconsider changing our statute for another exception for up to five kids. Thank you.
For your first time, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that really the issue at hand is parents' choice. And I think that as a new mother, I didn't have CPR. I didn't have first aid training, but I knew how to dial 911. I think that as a new mother, I stumbled through and made my way through and figured it out, used advice and help from other people. And I think that when parents make a choice, that if they choose someone who is well-educated, someone who has training, that's great. I'm all for the most, the highest standard possible for where your children are. But who should be the judge of that, the state or the parents?
For your first time, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd ask you to try to look at this bill for what it does, you know, and look at it from what the through the eyes of a parent and the processes of due diligence and search procedures that parents have available to them. And really what we're saying is that every parent's got a different way of doing these kind of things. Some of them find their provider sitting in the same pew as they are in church that they've known for years. Some of them are neighbors across the street. Some of them are looking for a provider to watch their kids the 2 or 3 hours between when school gets out and when they get home. So we're really looking at the judgment of parents and choice and due diligence. It's not a matter of limiting choice. If people still want to limit their choice to in their families to a licensed daycare provider, that's available to them. This doesn't jeopardize that market. We're just saying that there's some fits that don't work, or some fits have to be malleable in the sense that they're adaptable to a wide variety of search and due diligence decision making. So I think if you look at this from the standpoint of a parent and try to remember yourself as a parent and whether or not it was preferable for you to have the government give you the okay and search for you, that's fine. But if you really think that you had some other things you were looking for that isn't provided in the menu of license requirements, you should be able to look at this from a more global standpoint, I think. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Are you ready? For your first time, Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak for the first time in order to reserve my option to speak a second time. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill brings to this body the question, at what point does the state of Wyoming intervene in people's lives? And as we all know, life has inherent in it risks and decisions. And decisions on how to deal with those risks. And the question is, should we in this room make child care decisions for people we've never met in situations we can't imagine, and limit the alternatives for the decisions in their lives? Or should we let the decision be made where it should be made, with the family, in the home, evaluating the child care providers and the options available, given the factors and the situations that we in this room shouldn't, can't imagine, and don't have any special knowledge of, because every situation in every family is different. And so I think it's a good bill, bad amendment. Urge support for the bill, because decisions should be made in the home and not in a chamber of 60 people making decisions about perfect strangers a long way away.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, for my first time.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Second time. Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, thank my good colleague from Albany County for the opportunity to discuss this piece of legislation one more time. And in her remarks and the comments that I've heard on the floor today, I guess what I'd like to start out by doing is thanking you for, once again, we had the oversight, we had the good, not the oversight, but we had the good judgment to do the right thing when we passed this piece of legislation to begin with. We allowed for areas where if child care providers made the business decision to want certification, we allowed for that. And at the same time in statute, we listed 9 different areas in which a child care provider could make another business decision, and that was not to seek certification. So in our infinite wisdom, we had already made the decision that there was room for both areas to coexist and that it made sense. This bill does not add another exemption. What it does is change an existing exemption that is already in statute and has been in statute since we passed this piece of legislation. But it does relax that exemption, which we're all aware of the cases in which I brought forward about the children getting off the bus. This allows the parent to go to one location if they so choose. So we know how the bill came about and from whence it came. I think what saddens me most is, and I don't know that it saddens me as much as I have to ask yourself, and I'm hoping you ask yourself, there's a basketball coach, very well-known basketball coach in this country, and he said, always keep an open mind and a compassionate heart. And as I have this discussion with you, that's what I want you to remember. I would like you to keep an open mind and a compassionate heart as we have this discussion. I think what we have inadvertently done, though, I keep asking myself, why are we just hearing from the certified daycare providers? And I think what we have done inadvertently, not only on a state agency level, but perhaps here in this own body and how we've dealt with this issue, as we have exchanged the word certified for licensed, and they are very, very different words. You can look up both of those words in the dictionary, and you can look them up in a thesaurus, and I guarantee you go to a thesaurus and certified, the word license is never mentioned. license is a recognition that a profession, that an industry meets certain, has certain characteristics and certain qualifications. License, you have the right to conduct business through government oversight. And we have interchanged those two words in time. You look in the rules that guide certification, and it's right down to even defining what the license is and referring to people as licensees. We have inadvertently, and I think that use of that word has caused non-certified child care providers who have made that choice, I think we have inadvertently attached a stigma to that notion that somehow if you are not certified, that you are incapable of being qualified, that you incapable of loving and caring for someone else's children. And we've had a hand in that, right down to the point where we even have tons of funding set aside for training, and that keeps coming hammered. But you know what we did in our infinite wisdom there? I think we did make a mistake. Only certified providers can access that money for further training. So we've inadvertently done something that was not healthy for this entire discussion about how we deal with child care facilities. And I think that is in some way led our certified daycare providers to believe that somehow if you're not certified, you're not capable or competent. We've had a hand in ingraining that into them. And I think that's why we only heard from child care, certified child care providers. We didn't hear from, what did I say the other day, the other 789 legally exempt child care providers who chose not to be certified that have gone through CPR, background checks, minimal health and safety standards in order so that they can qualify to receive the federal subsidies for the children that they care for. We didn't hear from those. Why? We drove those people underground just by the very environment that we've created for them. Because somehow we've inadvertently attached a stigma to that. This is a good piece of legislation. To answer my good colleague from Albany County, this does not do away with state oversight, but state oversight is a choice. It's a business decision that you make depending on the circumstances in which you want to provide daycare to other children. That's a business choice. This does not do away with that choice. It doesn't do away with minimal health and safety. The rules are still there in place. You still have the choice as a parent. Do you want to seek out a certified daycare provider? Or would you rather look for a non-certified one that we have given our blessing to in state statute? Parents do know what to ask. Parents know what questions to ask. This is a good piece of legislation. It's a piece of legislation that is long overdue, in my opinion. It does not go too far. It's reasonable. And it's prudent. And we've heard that used time and time again on this floor in other pieces of legislation. So I would just encourage the body and end my remarks with a quote by a very famous president who we all know. I think he was president number 16. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. We have the power here today to make a big choice. We have a power here. We have the power here today to provide more options to parents when it comes to who is going to watch their child in a child care facility. So I am on and against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you to the good chairwoman from District 28 for bringing this piece of legislation so that we can have this conversation. Folks, I think that the 789 exempt providers and others out there who do care for children aren't necessarily driven underground. In fact, we heard from many of them who, not of those 789, but of others who chose to become certified and were happy that they did. Happy because they learned things that they wouldn't have known without going through the certification process. But friends, this is what I think that you need to consider or to think about.
a typical in-home child care provider, and let's just say, is a woman who has two kids of her own. Right now, the statute says that a person with two kids of her own can watch two additional children without any kind of state regulation. That's four kids in the home. We say that that is perfectly fine. What this bill does is up that number from two additional children to five. So now what we're thinking about is an in-care provider with seven children in the home. And whether or not we want that business to have any health and safety regulations associated with it. And those health and safety regulations include that the provider know CPR, for example, that the provider have some kind of training, that the provider's facility is health and safe for seven children in that home. So when parents go around and look in their communities, if they have choices, and we haven't even touched that, I think that we all know that there is an incredible child care crunch in each and every one of our communities. So it is incredibly difficult for new parents to find child care. And most are just happy that they find one with an open space. But when you walk into a facility that can accommodate seven kids, that we want to know and we want parents to know that we have some minimal oversight to assure that they are health and safety, that they are healthy and safe. And so therefore, I would encourage you to vote no, that we keep our statutes the way they are now. They are working well. And Mr. Speaker, I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. The amendment having been withdrawn. And House Bill 93, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake excused. Blickery. Blickery.
I'm sorry.
Calling roll on House Bill 93. Are you an aye or a no?
An aye.
Thank you. Blickery, aye. Bonner.
No.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman. Gay, Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Ronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Throne? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Yagi, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 24 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 93, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 93 has passed the House. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 121.
House Bill 121, introduced by the Appropriation Committee. An act relating to abandoned mine land funds being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 121 and seek your favorable vote. Mr. Speaker, what this amendment does, on page 8 of the bill, It strikes all the language from line 22, and on page 29, it strikes the language down through line 19. And what this does is it takes out the compression, the natural gas compression facility at the University of Wyoming. Mr. Speaker, I truly believe we need to get out of the way and let the private sector do this. I've had distributed to your desks some information about this. There's clean energy plans, 70 sites, and what it is there are 70 liquefied natural gas stations along key routes in 33 states. Two of the big ones here in Cheyenne, Laramie, Casper, are now putting in these liquefied plant sites now. They have raised $450 million from investment from companies and private investors to do this. The only places they won't be put in are up in the northern part of the state. They'll be in 41 states, excluding the northern New England and upper Great Plains areas of the continental United States. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is already under a movement that's underway. All of the big diesel manufacturers are now changing over and developing motors that will use this stuff. I just think we need to stand back and let the private sector do its job.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is great news. Actually, it's what I was hoping would happen all along as far as natural gas being recognized by the nation and for all its attributes as a transportation fuel. So I'm glad to see this. I'm not aware of any site that's been purchased by these guys in Wyoming, and Wyoming really isn't mentioned in here except for I-80 in this thing. I just think that I certainly don't want government to get in the way of private industry at all. That's the last thing that I'm looking for. I just think that I don't think we would have a natural gas station in Laramie for years to come, and I think if we continue with the governor's plan, that we will, and the university can service its own fleet, and it would be great to use Wyoming's natural gas. So I would like to defeat this amendment, I suppose. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a free market amendment. Let's not pick winners and losers here on who is going to have an economical business. Let's not pick competition with existing businesses in Laramie. Let's let the market determine. A million people making a million good little decisions is better than this body making policy decisions in the economy. And so I'd urge your support of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Roscoe?
One point I'd like to make is that if the university can build a station for itself, it has the ability to buy at a wholesale rate, just as YDOT. So I'm just trying to think of Wyoming government itself with the ability to save money. So I think government should think for itself. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just am urging the body to support the amendment and stay out of the way of the private sector.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 121, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has been adopted. Division being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 121, please stand. The amendment is adopted. We're on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 121. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 121 and ask for your favorable consideration and your favorable reconsideration of some of the action that we did yesterday with respect to this issue. What this amendment would do would remove $1 million from the College of Engineer and Applied Science project and move it into the Wyoming Natural Resource Trust Fund for the purpose of bark beetle remediation, pine bark beetle remediation across the state. And I want to make a few comments with respect to the discussion that we had yesterday. I did talk to a University of Wyoming official on this, in regard to this College of Engineering Applied Science project. But I first would say that University of Wyoming trustees or administration did not ask for this AML appropriation for this project. To my knowledge, the university has completed its level one study for the conceptual design of this facility. They paid that out of the model. But within this bill, there are two appropriations that would take this study for the engineering project to the level two planning stage. One's for $350,000, another place in the bill, there's a $750,000 appropriation. So we have provided money for that purpose. The architectural design that's going to come out of these planning studies is months and months down the road. And I was informed by the University of Wyoming official that this project will likely not be ready for consideration until the next biennium. So I don't, and the cost of the project could be anywhere from $80 to $100 million, and it will likely have to be phased. So this is a project that's going to be long ranging, and it's going to take several years probably to complete it. So my interest in this amendment and asking your consideration is that I think we've tried to make the case that we have a narrow window of opportunity in the state of Wyoming, with especially with the ponderosa pine and the bark beetle infestation that we have. And this appropriation to the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund could be matched to increase those dollars that can be used for this purpose and leverage some additional funds down the road. This is probably a 5 or 6 year program that we hope to commence throughout the state in the areas where there's still some green trees where we think we can be successful. So I won't add anything more, take any more time on the floor, but I would try to answer any questions, but ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly rise in support of this amendment. We look at the economic impact that's taken place here with the bark beetle infestation. All you have to do is look at your respective forests. You're going to see a lot of dead trees that's there. So all of us are affected by this. Within my county, we have 3 sawmills left, and that's a little different than most of the county's experience. These people are trying to make a livelihood out of that industry. It's a critical factor. We've met numerous times with lots of people on this project over in that area. This is certainly a step in the right direction.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think all of us have seen what delays on addressing the pine bark beetle has done. Parts of the state, really, the trees are gone, and people are still talking about what to do about the beetles in that part of the state. Well, nothing now. While we talk and try to figure out a plan, the beetles keep eating the trees, and they will kill them. This is one where speed is of the essence, and if this bill, this amendment, helps get rid of those beetles, helps control them in a manner that leaves some of our forests intact, I rise for it. Thank you.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in favor of this amendment. I indicated yesterday that I was supportive of this use of AML funding. And I do continue to show my support. There are things that we can do, and we need to be aggressively working to remediate the effects of bark beetle. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also am in support of this. It's not only a region, you know, that the good chairman brought up, the ponderosa pine, but it's also in the southwest, the two big forests we have there. It is really decimating what's going on, delays in harvesting. If we can help take care of our forests by removing, taking care of roads, fire safety, I mean, there's a big issue with this, so I stand in support of this. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think the $1 million can be put to work right now. I think we're going to continue to find money for engineering. We all support it. It's going to be $100 million, but I think this $1 million can probably go to work right now this spring. It's my understanding the ponderosa pine is a little different than the lodgepole, what we've had down here in the southeastern corner, but the chainsaws, I understand, are at the border idling right now. Brum, 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 they're ready to go. So I think we can really do some good work and maybe chunk some of these areas out. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not speaking against, but rather seeking information. Is the $1 million that you have moved or intend to move with this amendment going to be restricted to the state forest, or is there something cooperatively that we're looking at national forest as well?
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time, prior to the sponsor. Chairman Simlick.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to answer that question from the good representative from Sheridan County. We have a model that started on the South Dakota, just an example, on the South Dakota side of the Black Hills with the Lawrence County working through an MOU with the federal agency. So we can possibly do that. What the work that we will do immediately will be involved principally on private forest and on state trust land.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 121, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 121 has been adopted. We're on third reading. Okay. Stand by. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, it's with great honor and privilege to welcome Senator Mike Enzi back to the Wyoming Legislature. Senator Enzi served in the Wyoming House from 1987 until 1996, and also served in the State Senate from 1992 until 1996. He was sworn into the United States Senate in 1997 and has been serving the people of Wyoming there ever since. He currently serves on the U.S. Senate Committee on Budget, Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, and Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Please help me in welcoming our United States Senator, Mike Enzi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. It's always great to be back here. Although I can tell you I'm a lot more comfortable speaking from the microphone right back there, because my desk used to be over there, and that was much, much closer. And I can remember several times of going over there and entering the debate. I tried to limit how much I did that, but occasionally it's necessary. And I love the way that things work here. You know, our whole delegation was trained in the Wyoming legislature. And we've known each other for years, and consequently we work together really well. We have three different personalities, so we have three different ways of meeting our colleagues and asking them for help for America or for Wyoming. And they're great people to work with. But I'm especially pleased with the training that I got here. I know what you're going through. I know how these sessions are so short, so compact, so full of really big issues that are going to affect people on a daily basis, not like some of the ones we work on in Washington. And I know the adrenaline that it takes to be able to meet the kind of a schedule that you have to have. Folks that haven't served in the legislature would not realize that. Your families probably do. They sacrifice a lot for you to be able to be here. And I thank them for that. But I thank you for the effort that you've put in. You spend all day listening, debating, working, coming up with amendments, and putting things through in a regular process. And then you spend the evenings getting ready to do that the next day on the next batch of bills. In Washington, we sometimes do a bill a week. And I always like to look at the board and see all the different ones that you folks are going to be handling in a day and doing it better. Of course, part of that's because you stick to one topic on a bill. When we have a bill on the floor, it's free time. You can put any amendment on that that you think you can get passed, or you can put any amendment on that that you just like to debate. And it shouldn't work like that. You do it the right way. And I know you've been through some real difficult issues already, and you've got some more difficult issues that you're going to have to handle. I want to congratulate you for the way that I see you working, particularly this year. I see quite a teamwork effort between the House and the Senate and the Governor. And that's really important. I know when I worked here that I realized that sometimes there was more animosity between the House and the Senate than there was between Republicans and Democrats. And I even figured out why that was. You know, you folks do a bill and you get it perfect, and then you send it to the other end and they mess it up. And vice versa. And that always irritates people. But it's how the process works. You have to have a lot of people looking at these things from a lot of different backgrounds so that you can figure out the unintended consequences before they become consequences. That's the beauty of the system in America, having a lot of people look at a lot of things so that we get it closer to right. I don't think there's any way to get a perfect bill, but you can get it better. I remember the first bill that I put in here, it started out with three sentences. Dealt with unemployment. And by the time it was out of committee, it had a couple more sentences added to it. And by the time it finished the floor, it had three more amendments that were important for it. And then it went down to the Senate. And in committee, they added another couple of amendments. Now, I made it through the floor down there okay, and it did pass. But what I realized by the end of that process was that every one of those things that had been done to it were things that I had not anticipated. And it made it better. And so I congratulate you on the way that you work. In Washington right now, we're skipping that part of the process. Things are going from the president to Harry Reid to the floor. Next week, we're going to talk about cybersecurity. That couldn't be very important, could it? Couldn't be very complicated, could it? I mean, we're going to get no chance at all to change it. That's not the right way to do it. It should go to committee. Committees are where you get the really sink your teeth into something, and it's a group of people that kind of have some expertise. That's why they're on that committee. And in Washington, that's where we get to sit down with the people that have similar ideas and see if they can't be melded into one really good idea to do one amendment to the bill out of many amendments. We're skipping that part of the process on virtually everything now. And consequently, we're not passing the bills because people are upset with them. Of course, another thing we like to do in Washington is comprehensive. You know, we have all of the wisdom in the world, so why not do everything in that bill that pertains to that particular thing? Well, I'll tell you what happens with comprehensive, as opposed to one item on a bill and covering one section at a time. There's always something in a bill that upsets everybody. They're all different parts. One of my favorite books is about the Compromise of 1850, and I use that to do some of my legislating back there. In that one, Henry Clay was trying to save the nation. And so he came up with this grand package that would have all these compromises in it that would pull all the parts of the country together. And he worked for months to try and get that bill through. And he worked so hard on it that it put him in the hospital. Some of you work that hard on bills, and I've seen people put in the hospital over working here, too. Well, when he went in the hospital, a couple of his friends picked it up and they said, hey, this is nuts. Let's break this down into pieces. And they did. And every single piece passed. There were only two people in the entire legislature that voted for all five pieces. So sometimes breaking it down allows people to vote against the part they don't like, and maybe it'll still pass. But it brings people, it gives people a little more capability of coming up with a good solution. It did save the nation for 10 years. And that might be the reason the North won. They've got ready in that amount of time. But some issues a little closer to home for you that I know that you're working on, and I know that you don't have enough direction from Washington yet to be able to work on them. One of those is health care. And we're talking about the bill requires you to do an exchange. But all of the rules haven't been written yet on how to do that exchange. And they don't realize that you're going to be through meeting here in a few more days, and it's another year before you can work on it again. So to impose something on you that has to be done now without having the details is impossible. So I like marketplace exchanges. I've had it in my health care bills. I didn't have it in with the strictness that there is in this one. I thought everybody ought to be able to go online and look at any health care plan that's out there and decide whether the ones that that health care plan had met their requirements or not. I wouldn't even object to them having an asterisk for ones that they think are inadequate. I don't know how you judge that for sure, but they're judging that in Washington. And you're not going to be allowed to have any inadequate insurance, but you are going to have to buy insurance. And here's what I think is going, that's in the courts now. And I think that that law is going to be thrown out. I am certain that if it's not thrown out in its entirety, that there will be parts of it that will be thrown out, like the mandate. And I've been working on this for years. I worked on this under Kennedy. Now, he's one of the most liberal people in the United States Senate, was, and I'm one of the most conservative ones. But we were able to work together on it. I have the 80% rule that I'm sure I've shared with you before, where you can agree on 80% of the issues. If you avoid the 20%, you can get some of those 80% done. Now, on any one of the 80%, though, you can probably only agree on 80% of the bill. And if you leave out that other part, you can get it done. We have bills that were going 10, 12 years without having any conclusion. And because we left out some parts, we were able to get 37 bills done in a two-year period. Usually a committee can get three done in Washington in a two-year period. So he and I worked out a way to do a 10-step plan to get to actually further than what the current bill does, without mandates in it and with being paid for. So that bill is ready to go if they need a substitute when the courts finish. And I also have the parts that if any part gets thrown out, we'll be able to put a substitute in on that. We're working on highways back there. We're trying to figure out a way to fund the infrastructure. But Washington doesn't have any money. We actually ran out of money. We have maxed out our credit cards. We're borrowing 40 cents on every dollar. We even borrow 40 cents on every dollar to pay our interest. And the interest is only 0.1% now. Can you imagine what happens if the interest rate goes up? And it's bound to. Although we don't figure that into the future budgets. So there are some real things that are going to create some problems in Washington. And in fact, we've even found a way now to spend the money that we save. You know, if there's a store sale and they have 50% off, and it's a great opportunity for a person, but they don't have the 50%, the 50% they have to pay because the credit cards are already maxed out. So they search around and they discover some money under one of the cushions and get $30 of the $50. But the other $20 they still need. So they're going to have to borrow that. Well, their friends already know the shape they're in, and they're not going to loan them any money. So who do they have to go to? Their enemies. Their enemies will do it because then they can own them. We're borrowing our money from China. Not necessarily an enemy, but definitely not a close friend. So They get this $50 and they run down and they buy this outfit and really pleased because it might open all kinds of doors for them and at least make them feel good. But here's the real kicker for Washington. The $50 that was saved, we're going to spend that on new programs. I don't know how you do it, but that's one of the things that shows up in the budget. Of course, we haven't approved a budget in 3 years. We just go ahead and spend money, and that's the wrong thing to do. Highways is one of those places where, in order to have the money, we've used up the money that's in the Highway Trust Fund, which comes from the gas tax. And so we're trying to find places to steal that money from, and actually are looking at trust funds. Trust funds are things like Social Security and abandoned mine land money, which I'm busy protecting back there. What we're going to have to do is bite the bullet and actually increase gas taxes. Not a good time to do it. Never a good time to do it. I put in a motion in committee. That's one of the bills that actually went to committee to index the gas tax that we had. The last time we raised it was in 1993. And if we had indexed it and spent the money at the same rate we have now, we wouldn't have a problem. But we haven't indexed it, and if we indexed it now based on last year's inflation, it would increase the price of gas by half a cent. That changes that much in a day. So I put that amendment in. Everybody was, that's an increase in taxes. Well, it's a logical place to get the money. If you want to drive on highways, you got to pay to drive on the highways. And that's how we've always paid to do it. So I put that amendment in. Senator Baucus wouldn't let us vote on it. So it's not the right time. Not the right time. Of course, I think if we had voted on it, it would have been 23-1. Although afterwards, I had two Republicans and two Democrats come up to me and say, that's what we got to do. So we'll be debating that on the floor, and you'll see whether. Otherwise, we're going to come up with non-existent sources of money to use to build the highways. And we've got to have the highways, particularly here in Wyoming, where we have the great distances. So energy is another topic that we cover back there. And again, we're trying to defend America. One of the things that's happening around the world is China is buying up all of the resources, any place they can. They're not contracting for the resources. Well, they're doing that too. They're contracting for coal if they can get it. And, of course, that Keystone Pipeline that was going to go through Nebraska and created the controversy and stuff, that's not going to happen now. Canada said, don't worry about it. We just sold it to China. China will buy energy any place they can. They realize that in 20 years, whoever owns the energy has the power. And we're not talking electrical power. One of the things that my Australian friends told me was that they're the ones that brought this to my attention about how they're buying resources, not contracting for energy. They said that they're not very far away from being able to set the prices on energy. And, of course, that reminded me of 1973 when our president made some comments about how bad Saudi Arabia was. And they said, well, we'll show you. And they cut off our gas. And the price of gasoline went from 25 cents to a buck overnight, and everybody waited in lines. And I don't think we want to be beholden to China that same way. So it is important that we develop some of the energy that we have. Another interesting thing I found is that in an initial well, you get about 20% of the oil, and then you can use CO2, that terrible CO2, and you can get another 20%. That leaves 60%. So I'm waiting for the day that some kid at the University of Wyoming figures out a way to get that other 60%, and we'll have all the oil we need. And I think that can happen. I'm going to have an inventors conference again. This will be my 9th inventors conference in April. So I'm trying to encourage the kids that we educate so well in Wyoming, and then they go everywhere else to work, that if they would invent something, it could be made in Wyoming and shipped all over the world. They could live any place they want. And I know from talking to Wyoming kids that would be right here in Wyoming. So if you know of any kids or anybody, even adults that are involved in an invention, April 21st would be a day they can find out about marketing it and funding it and all those sorts of things and protecting it. So Once again, I just thank you for all the effort that you put in here, the training that you've given me, the way that you work together, and all that you get done in the right way. Keep it up. Wyoming is a special place, especially if you look at legislation. And I do that quite frequently. You know, you work the shortest period of time of any legislature in the United States. And you get more bills passed than any legislature in the United States, even the ones that work all year round. But here's the real important part. You have less correction to previous bills than other states do, which means you're getting it more right the first time than anybody else. Keep up the good work.
Serenity, thank you so much on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature for your work on behalf of our great state. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are on, I believe, third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 121. And Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 121. Folks, this is after we had the discussion yesterday and moving money from the AA to the engineering building, and we all supported it, brought the amendment. But I just figured there's got to be a better way to do this. And the university brought us 8 projects in JAC. Performing arts, infrastructure improvements, half acre, the engineering building, the AA, Corbett, Sheridan Ag Center. And we had a JAC position to do those, and we did. And the one we've backed on now is the AA. And I just think what this does, it goes back into the back of the bill, and I found this, and I didn't have a big grand plan, but I read through this again and found it. And it's on page 17, and it's lines 5 and 6. And it's paragraph Romanette 4, talks about subsection C of this section shall not revert until 2016. And what that is the DKRW road money. And we've all still support it, and we hope it will happen. And my understanding that I think there's like 9 things that have to happen for this road money to be released. You know, 3 of them kind of at the DEQ and the county zoning, all those kind of things, and then 6 things with the attorney general. Well, what I was thinking, I thought a way we could do this then is to put this money to work right now. You know, if you look at our economy, the one sector that is not growing right now, I mean, you got energy, you got tourism, everything, is the construction industry. Construction workers have our highest unemployment rate in this state. And get our folks back to work. You know, the DKRW thing, I think I got an idea to come back with a third reading amendment tomorrow in the budget to provide that $10 million, and I'd be committed to do that. And I think the decision on DKRW, we've told it was 2007, then 2008, 9, 10, 11, here we are 12, but I'm told that it's going to happen.
Point of order, please do not mention thank company you. Names.
Told that this project is, thank you, Mr. Speaker, I'm told that this project then will maybe be decided this fall. And that'll be good. I hope it is. And it's maybe a 50-50, 55-45. But anyway, so I just want to get this money going. It's been sitting for 4 years since 2008. Kick it out there and put it to work for Wyoming people and help invest in our university. And I'll come back with a third reading budget amendment to keep this program intact and our incentive out there for this project. So thank you very much.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call a point of order as well, and I'd like to call for the Rules Committee to rule on this amendment, Mr. Speaker, and with regard to Article 3, Section 20 and 24, as far as changing the original purpose, the original intent of this bill.
Okay, would the members of the Rules Committee please convene up at my desk? Along with Representative Stewart.
Thank you.
Just 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rules Committee convened and made a ruling that the amendment before us is germane and appropriate, considering Article 3, Sections 20 and 24 of the State of Wyoming Constitution. So we'll proceed from there. And you had already gone. Representative Stewart, you had called the point of order, so you may continue with your first time if you wish to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand here in opposition to this third reading amendment, Mr. Speaker, and perhaps let me begin by a little bit of history and the purpose and need for this $10 million appropriation that was directed for public infrastructure in Carbon County associated with a coal-to-liquids plant being planned in Carbon County in 2008. What we see here is a large-scale commercial facility being planned in Carbon County that will be responsible for hundreds of permanent jobs and during the construction phase upwards of 1,000 jobs for this facility to be built. It was identified very early on in this process some deficiencies in public infrastructure if this facility was to proceed. Now, very early on, we actually got it taken care of where we fixed one of the roads going in there with other funds. The $10 million that have been set aside with AML dollars back in 08 was for a road from Interstate 80 going up to the facility following the Medicine Bow River. We identified very early on the complexities of this road that would need to be rehabilitated, realigned along this very scenic section of Wyoming, that the reason this came up on the radar, Mr. Speaker, was the fact that we could not deny the impacts of that road after this facility was built. We have small ranching communities living along this road and a bridge crossing the Bow River that would absolutely not meet the needs of the workers, the construction workers, as well as the workers, the permanent workers, that would be needed for this facility. That's just a brief history, purpose, and need. Again, I would maintain, again, that this is an appropriate use of AML dollars as well as an appropriate use of public dollars. Mr. Speaker, when we use public dollars to assist and incentivize our energy industry, this makes our state strong, and we can demonstrate that strong public benefit. And I would maintain the removal of this appropriation for this road would absolutely hinder this project going forward, which, you know, I'm sure no one in this body would have the intention of doing that. I've said this before in other areas, promises made are promises kept. For my first time, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I strongly urge you to resist this amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we made a commitment in 2009 with these AML funds. We have the potential of a return of $1.5 billion if this project comes to fruition. We know it's a risk. It's all of these projects are research, development, different opportunities that we look at how we can enhance our natural resources in the state of Wyoming. And so with that, I would propose that you vote no.
Chairman Lockhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the people that are in opposition to this particular amendment and their history. I would just remind everybody that this project was getting close in 2008, and we all know what happened to the economy, and that was the flow of funds to big projects like this. We followed it every step of the way through the Minerals Committee and various reports, and the most recent one was within the last 30 days, that this is as close as they've been since before 2008. And I think for us to withdraw what appears to be a $10 million contribution by the state towards a project that will have long-term values for the state of Wyoming at this time would be inappropriate. So I urge your defeat of the proposed amendment.
For the first time, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. This road is ready to go. It's designed. Everything is in place. The minute the final financial closure on this project is reached, the road will be constructed. Last session, this body approved road work in other parts of the state that are impacted by energy development. This is no different. It's not that much money. It's an infrastructure project. It's not direct money to any particular group or company or anything else. I strongly resist this amendment. This money is needed for this road. It was appropriated in good faith, and I think we need to continue to act in good faith.
For the first time, Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. I'm kind of looking at this as a timing question again, and maybe answer to a question or two would assist me. But I'm looking at the fact that these funds are a grant that we need to use, and this project with the University of Wyoming is ready to go. And so this project for the road and bridge, I understand the promise and the commitment for it. I've also read the session laws and have looked at the numerous requirements that have to be done and met before these funds are released. And so my question, I guess, and an answer I need before I can vote on this, is that coffee can for these funds for that project something that can be filled up later and that these funds can be used right now for the university?
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Chairman, my first time to reserve a second.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge you to support this amendment. Nobody hopes that this project will go forward than I. I would hope that it would. But we've watched over the years the delays, the hopes, the studies. They're still studying to make sure that it will work. We have a shovel-ready project now at the university. We know that over 125,000 folks visit the AA in a year. It's a shovel-ready project. And I would hope that this project in Carbon County moves ahead, but I don't want to build a bridge to nowhere. If the project goes ahead, I know that y'all will be back next year and can appropriate the $10 million again. I've never seen us not have adequate money if a project is imminent. So I'd urge you to support the amendment. This is the only four-year university, which is a good thing. We need to support it. We need to nurture it. We need to grow it. Let's spend the money on shovel-ready now. Come back. You're going to be back here in 6 months or 8 months. If this road and bridge needs to be done, there's plenty of time. On and for the amendment.
Representative Wallace, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in opposition to this amendment, I'm looking here at a copy of the mission of the University of Wyoming. And it says, in the exercise of our primary mission to promote learning, we seek to provide academic and co-curricular opportunities that will expose students to the frontiers of scholarship and creative activities and the complexities of the interdependent world. It troubles me that we are contemplating in a uncertain future where we have a less than rosy outlook for the long run, that we are taking funds previously dedicated by this body to a project that has the potential to enrich our state, and to use those funds for something that many of us feel is not the mission of the university. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stubson, for your first
thank
time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, we've been talking this as a promise made to a company, but really this was a promise made to Carbon County. This is an expense that Carbon County is going to incur. These are road plans that Carbon County has paid to develop, and this is a project that Carbon County is ready to go on. The business that will benefit in part from this project has all its permits. It has contracts in place to sell fuel. It has contracts in place to sell CO2, which will in turn be used in EOR across the state. And so you are looking at a project that is really, when you look at all the impacts, not just this one location, but the CO2 benefits, the fuel sales benefits, is going to result in hundreds of jobs across the state. And so I just scratch my head that we can look at that and say, we're not going to spend money on that. Instead, we're going to spend it on so that we can more enjoy our basketball games. And that's really the choice we're making. So I would ask you to vote no on this amendment.
First time, Representative, did you already go? Okay, anyone else for their first time? Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to belabor the point. I think everybody knows where I stand on this issue. I urge you to vote in favor of this amendment. And I would just say this. It just breaks my heart when we get things set up in here where it's an either-or situation, where they're perceived to be mutually exclusive. And I don't think they are. I think there are other sources for these funds. And we set it up in an either-or situation yesterday that I don't think we needed to. The UW didn't need the money for the engineering college. That thing is already on track. It's on the way. And it didn't need the money, but we sidetracked this money and put it in there anyway. So instead of having an opportunity to have two facilities funded, the AA and the engineering college, we just took out the AA, and we're only doing the engineering college, which was going to happen anyway with funds that they didn't need to make it happen. Now, here's an opportunity to make it right. I think there's an opportunity to replace these funds from other sources, and in such a way that it won't interrupt this project. And I wish that you would consider voting for this amendment and then voting for another amendment that would replace the money for the DKRW road. And I'm not supposed to say that word. So that in the end, we get three projects instead of two. We get this money triple levered. We still get the project that the road's for, and we get the engineering college. There's a win-win-win in this. And it's not by voting against this amendment. So I'd urge you to vote for it.
For your first time, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly understand the issue with the $10 million taken away from Carbon County. It frustrates me that, you know, we appropriated that in 08. It's 4 years later. It still hasn't been done. So I certainly have some leanings toward the amendment, but I'll probably be voting no, primarily for this particular reason, more a reason of procedure. Even though this was in order, as according to the Rules Committee, and I agree with that decision, I still don't like the idea, just from a policy point of view, that something this important, $10 million to Carbon County, is coming up on a third reading amendment. I just don't have enough knowledge and understanding, because each one of you keep getting up, and I go, oh, I agree with that. And then the next one gets up, and I totally switch my mind. I go, oh, I agree with that. It's difficult. I need more time. I don't think we make this type of decision on a third reading amendment. I'd urge you to vote no.
Anyone for their second time? Second time, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had frustration over the years with AML funding, and I'm one of those who has watched the projects, the funding, the contracts, when we get our grant money, which we cannot get until we have the bill of receipt. And I've watched this particular project too. But we made a commitment, and in making that commitment, we have worked since that time to find all of the contracts, do all the permitting, develop the project. And now it's going to hopefully come to completion to start the project this summer. So we have made a commitment, and also, again, on third reading, to bring an amendment like this to change the policy that we developed in 2008 and '09, please, again, I urge you to vote no.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think one of the designs of the Appropriations Committee on putting AML in one bill is to give a robust discussion of it, and I think we've managed to do that in infinitum. I would say this. I think that the University of Wyoming facility that was the alternative proposed will happen. I think it's needed. It will come. There are other ways of financing this. I would suggest to you that a change at this time would be very critical and in a negative way for a project that's had a lot of work into it. I understand when people say, well, we made the commitment in 2008 for some road work, for a project, but just remember the history. Our country and most of the world turned upside down economically in that period of time, and this was international financing for it then. The new financing is coming together, and one of the criteria is support from the state that is to host the project, and Wyoming should be the state to host that, and I would urge you to defeat the amendment.
Representative Burkhart for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I urge you to defeat this amendment. This road benefits the people in this part of Wyoming. Currently, it's a dirt road. It'll be upgraded, and it will benefit their access between several of the small communities in Carbon County. Additionally, the last time I was in the facilities at UW, they were great. The roof didn't fall in on me. It didn't leak. My chair didn't roll down the aisle. I know it needs some work, but I think that work's available from other funds. We made a commitment. We need to stick with that commitment on the road. As I said before last session, we made a commitment to other roads impacted by energy development. Those came out of general funds, if I remember right. These are AML funds. If we want to fund something else, do we have the money to take it out of general funds right now? No, I don't think so. So, again, on and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Byrd, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we have here is a scenario where this is the best of the worst situation we've got ourselves into. The particular company that we keep referencing, in my opinion, hasn't shown enough performance to rate us investing this kind of money in a road upgrade. If that particular county over there wants a road, we'd be more than happy to give them a road. But using this as the reasoning for this, to me, is suspect, because again, I don't think this company has shown over the last few years that they can perform. Now, on the other hand, we're talking about the facility over at the university, which is shovel ready. I'm not really a fan of putting money into their coffers through this method, but given the choice, too bad, you know, bad and worse, I guess I'll go with bad and support this amendment.
Representative Stewart, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the conversation here and all of us keeping our remarks in the positive. And keeping in that, I want to extol the benefits of this project and the reconstruction and realignment of this road, not only good for Carbon County, but good for Albany County. And as a former representative from Carbon County would say, what's good for Carbon County is good for the state of Wyoming. Now, a lot of comments about the delay. And it doesn't take much, as my good chairman of Minerals mentioned, the economic downturn that we just endured, that this is not the only project that's been on the table for many years that has had to work very hard to get capitalized, recognizing an additional difficulty to get capitalized when you are the first project of its kind, not only in Wyoming, but in the country. We as a body and as a state do the best we can to incentivize that. How do we do that? Not by appropriating monies to industry. We appropriate money for public infrastructure to incentivize these industries to flourish. This, as I've mentioned, this is a perfect example of an appropriation of public dollars to help our local governments bring industry and economic development to their areas. And to address one comment about a bridge to nowhere, Mr. Chairman, this will not be a bridge to nowhere. There are some very strict conditions in the body of the bill that we are trying to change, repurpose here, to where there is absolutely no chance for this money to be released to go to Carbon County for this road without a very strict a language that will be reviewed downstairs that this is a project that has been fully capitalized and has reached closure, which, again, I want to remind you, it is anticipated that this project will reach closure this summer.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the debate, particularly our friends from Carbon County. And really, this is the issue now that when we broke up the budget bill into three bills. You know, in this first year we've done that since any of us have been in the legislature, say one member. But we don't have flexibility to time things up and move funds where they should be to get the maximum benefit of our funds. That's really the issue. I've fought for this project 6 years in appropriations. I've helped defend every run at this project in Carbon County. I am all for turning silver into gold. I can't tell you, that's been my whole thing down here, is move up the minerals food chain. So it's not even about this project. But if these were both together right now, I'd have brought you an amendment to backfill that $10 million out of a reserve account we have, a savings account. That'd be easier actually to access than an AML application process. So that's my plan on third reading, but it's two separate bills. Can't do it. This is the last day in this House of this bill. I wanted to try to get this done and then tomorrow finish the deal for the project in Carbon County. Nobody's arguing against that. I think you keep that money, and I have a place I think you'd all agree with. I mean, I don't know, that we could get that in there. And nobody, I think, has a problem with that. We've debated that numerous times. But I will tell you, it's not like it's imminent, this road, the graders are going to start tomorrow. I mean, there's nine things that have to happen. I've got the session law from 08 right here in front of me. There's nine things that have to happen, and I think three have. And so there's a lot more ground to cover here. I hope it all gets done. I hope it hits the finish line. I'll do whatever I can to make the finish line. But it'd be silly, really, to have these monies sit when we could put them to work, and then we could leverage a reserve account that's sitting and is going to sit, really, to fund this road if this project comes to fruition, which we all hope it will. I mean, I've been on numerous meetings on this project, this particular project, and I support it 100%. So it's not about that. It's all about timing. How do we get our money spent in the most efficient way? Herein, then, is the benefit of three appropriations bills, scrutiny, as my good friend from Natrona County said. I think everybody on this floor knows more about AML funds than they did a week ago, and that's a good thing. But the bad thing is timing, and you can't kind of move money between projects and different fund sources, and that's where I was stuck on this and brought it. So I hope you will support it. I'll bring a third reading budget amendment that will not affect the goldenrod tomorrow and to backfill this account. So with that, I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
We are on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 121. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is defeated.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Madam Minority Whip.
Thank you. Pursuant to Rule 13-6, I'd like to explain my vote.
Please proceed.
Mr. Majority Whip, members of the body, I didn't vote on the last amendment because I have a conflict, and I just wanted to document that for the record. Thank you.
So noted. We are on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 121. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move amendment number 4 to House Bill 121 and ask for your favorable consideration. As most of you have probably figured out by now, my mind seems to work a little bit differently from most, and this amendment is probably a product of that. But as I think through and listen to a lot of the arguments we've been having over the spending, I kind of come back to the basic premise of when we're spending money, we really should ask ourselves, is this a critical function of government and something that the government really should be taking care of? And it just felt to me like a lot of the projects in this bill were really more excuses to spend AML funds than critical needs of government. And in my mind, one of the most critical things that I think we all can agree on that is a proper role of government is spending money on roads and infrastructure. So that was where my thinking was with this. And it's a long amendment, but it's very simple to explain what it does. Basically, it takes a lot of money from a lot of these projects and just puts them into highways. It leaves the money for the solid waste orphan site. It leaves the money for the Gillette Water Project. It leaves the amendment that we passed yesterday for the rare earth minerals. And it leaves the money for the pipeline. And it strips the rest of the money out and puts it in highways, which I just think is a better use of money. And that's the amendment in a nutshell.
Anyone for their first time? Chairman Brown.
Mr. Majority Whip, on and against the amendment. This strips all kinds of money that has been dedicated for projects related to energy out and puts it in highways. And I think that maybe might precipitate a little bit of a discussion about highways. We know anybody that's looked at the data, looks at what comes out in the newspapers from time to time, understands that cars, light pickups, and motorcycles do virtually no harm to the highway. And if that's all that were on the highway, they would last, not in perpetuity, but a long, long time. And the real damage that comes to these highways is from trucks. Now, granted, trucks are associated with industrial development, but nonetheless, trucks are a commercial enterprise, and it's hauling for hire. And when they're doing that, and they do their books, and they look at you look at the totality of what the trucking industry is doing, the highway is a depreciable asset. It's depreciable just like the truck is. And for every mile that truck drives, there's a depreciation recognition, in other words, money that's put back in to replace the wear and tear on the truck. There ought to be a similar depreciation recognition with some money being funneled somehow for the wear and tear on the highway. That's where the wear on the highways is coming from,
And that's where the replacement money for those highways ought to come from. So how do you do that? You do that through a gas tax. And the gas tax can be structured in such a way that the parties that bear the biggest end of that are going to be people from out of state and the trucking industry. And that's where it ought to come from, not by sacrificing all of these projects. I agree that we need highway funding, but just remember, as to the trucking industry, that highway is a depreciable asset, just like the truck. And I don't think that we ought to be spending this money on the highways to make up for the depreciation, any more than I'd say we ought to be spending this money to make up for the wear and tear on the trucks. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against amendment number four. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we've made commitments on projects over the last few years since 2008. We had a fairly focused list of projects and how we would use the AML money and the tool and the mechanism of swapping with the University of Wyoming to make certain that we could have things shovel-ready, that we can get a bill of receipt on, and we can get our grant money back. So with that, I would ask you not to vote for this. I do appreciate the sponsor of the amendment thinking about how we can find additional funds for highways. We did appropriate $30 million from AML for highways. It's the first time we've done that, and I would hope that if this is a priority for the body, that we'll find other ways to increase that appropriation, which is now at $100 million and could go beyond.
Anyone else for the first time? First time, second time? Second time before the sponsor. We are voting on third reading amendment number four to House Bill 121. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment is defeated. Mr. Minority Caucus Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to take a few minutes out of the amendment discussions to welcome some constituents of mine from Rock Springs. You remember last week I had the privilege of introducing Commissioner John Coble. This week he had the good sense to bring his wife, Elvira, and his daughter Alexia, and because Elvira hails to us from Russia, I wanted to try to do a little crash course this morning, and I wanted to say, Dobro pozdravljavit. Welcome.
We are on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 121. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to withdraw third reading amendment number 5. Thank you.
Third reading amendment number 5 has been withdrawn. We are on third reading amendment number 6. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 121 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you know, our first amendment that we had to this bill, what this does is reinstates that amendment, except it adds to it that once a private entity opens a natural gas station within Laramie, then the university can no longer sell to private individuals. But let me express my concern of why we need this natural gas. I know though the argument during the First Amendment conversation was that we have private entities going against our public entities. And this is just for Laramie, and what we're trying to do is to get our state to not be so dependent on foreign oil. We're getting our state to a situation where they can use some of our own natural resources and develop our own natural resources. Be aware that the departments down in that area could maybe sign into long-term contracts for fuel needs, so we're not going to have a fluctuation from year to year when the price of gas goes sky high. So I think it opens a lot of opportunities, and I would encourage your vote for this. Again, we're just talking about one corridor, and we are trying to get the natural gas corridor going. The testimony we heard earlier that a company has plans, I like to repeat, plans for putting in like 150 of these pumps through the country. And so this is exactly what we're hoping for the state of Wyoming, that this happens. But I'm asking to let this one go ahead and get built, get used until we find out what the private industry is going to do, and if the private industry comes in with the plant there in Laramie, then the university can no longer sell to private individuals. And with that, I would stand for any questions or comments.
For your first time, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask people just to kind of resist this. I'm really puzzled at why the university is that desperate for money, first of all. I would think that if this was a high priority for them, that they can find that amount of funds. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Whip, Majority Whip. I'd just like to point out that plans are, if anybody read my handout, to be completed by 2013. So these are on the move. Some of them have already been installed along the highway. They haven't got to Wyoming. As far as the corridor is concerned, we already have these on our I-80 corridor in Wyoming now. So I would ask you to resist this amendment, and that's what I have to say.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Zwanzer.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the great comments. I think what we were just trying to do and what the governor had originally put into his plan was to get Wyoming natural gas to use. Get some reasons to have some vehicles using natural gas, get the seed planted, get it started. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some of the cheapest price of natural gas at the moment. The price differential is getting higher and higher, as we've seen gas at some of the pumps are up over $5. So all we're doing is asking for some AML money to be put in so the university can spend $1 million to get this up and going. It will allow them to use their vehicles, and it will also allow, of course, the school districts and any local government entities in that community. But we want to use what Wyoming produces, and I think that's what the crux of this is. We do not want to use the foreign oils and be relying on that. Let's get going on this project, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. And members, please refrain from referring to the chief executive. We are on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 121. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
The amendment is defeated. We are on third reading amendment number 7. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Majority Whip. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a last-ditch effort. Please help me with this. We have a chance here to have a win-win-win with a triple leverage on some money, and this would do it. Now, yesterday we took $10 million away from the AA. We put $10 million into engineering. And as I've already said, the engineering college is on track. It's going to be built, whether this $10 million is in there or not. The university has no immediate need for this $10 million. At the point where the $10 million is needed, it'll be there. This project is already on track. Now, with respect to the road, we left the funding there, and that's fine. That's a win. So now we're left with an opportunity with this amendment to take. There was $1 million that was siphoned off for the bark beetles. That's fine. That leaves $9 million that has been directed to a point where it's not needed, and the project will be fine without it, and at the time when that $9 million is needed, it'll be there. Here we have a chance to put this $9 million back to the AA where it belongs, which is a triple leverage deal. It'll require $1 million more in private fundraising, probably, than was originally contemplated. I believe they can do that. I think this will incentivize it. So there'll be $9 million from AML, $10 million from bonding, $11 million from private donors. That's a triple leverage on this money. So I don't want to beat this thing to death and just turn everybody off. I think you all understand the issue, but I think it's an opportunity to write something that we did yesterday, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Majority Whip, for my first time, no, no, no. Thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope you can support this amendment, as do I. I just want to make one more appeal. It's been said on this floor that we almost distinguish between academic and athletic at the University of Pitt, one against the other, and that is not right. I think our goal as a state and as a legislature and people in this state to build every unit on the campus of the university to its highest quality level. That's my goal, and I think it should be ours. And I would only add that athletics is a proud unit of the University of Wyoming, which gets us to the building itself. The building is 30 years old. The AA does need renovation. The AA did have roof problems. If you remember back in its early days, a major repair effort to shore up the roof of that building. So there is work to be done. Last thing I would say is, and I've heard it said, hey, they don't even fill the arena auditorium. Let's wait till we fill the doggone thing before we address it. I'll tell you this, the arena auditorium is the most active building on the University of Wyoming campus. 125,000 people through that building in the last year and every year. With that, I urge your support. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment, I believe the University of Wyoming's Engineering College is going to get the attention that it needs, starting with what we did yesterday, and I do appreciate that support for that very important structure. But I think this is a way that we can keep another one going that's a little farther down the queue than the University of Wyoming Engineering is, and my engineering friends may want to hang me, but I'm going to support this amendment and support an attorney that is promoting it.
Your first time? First time?
First time.
First time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you. I just to remind the body, this will bring us back to our JAC position or close to it and, get us back there. So appreciate your support, and I think it's well said. It's a win-win-win, and we're going to get all three. The engineering building is going to go. We've got level one and two. We'll come back here next year, and so appreciate your support.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I'm still relatively new to this chamber, but I've been around mining and mining folks for a very long time. I see no connection with abandoned mine funding and sports arenas. I would just urge the body to vote no.
Representative Wallace, for your first time.
On and against the amendment. Following up on what the former speaker just expressed, we are talking about abandoned mine lands funds that are extremely tenuous, that we need to provide our friends who are representing us and our nation's capital with the tools and the defensible position for why Wyoming needs and deserves to have this money that is contributed by our hardworking coal mining industry here. And this does not meet that measure. Thank you.
First time, Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is third reading. We're going to vote on this bill. It's going to come out of this house, and it's going to go across the hall. We've created somewhat of a conundrum, if you ask me. We now have $9 million left that we've decided to give to the University of Wyoming for their engineering. They're in a Phase 2 study. You've got AML funds being expended for a Phase 2 study in this bill already. Now we've robbed from the budget bill as it was presented to us by JAC to give them $9 million that I'm sure they're saying, okay, but we're going to give $9 million and I'm really not sure what to do with it. I'm sure they'll take it or it'll sit in a savings account somewhere where we have an opportunity right now to take this money and triple fund it, as chairman, our good chairman from Albany County said. I think we're passing an opportunity here to move this forward, and I would encourage your support of this. Thank you.
Representative Davison, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I've been on this floor for 8 years, and I don't know how much money we've given the university, but I wonder when it's ever going to end. How can we continue to fund the university like we do and let some of these other programs go? I think about there are a lot of necessary programs out there, like the DD waiver that we're going to say no more. And yet we're arguing all morning about something for an arena. I just don't understand this, so I oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Peterson, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly rise in support of the amendment. Take a little different approach on this, ladies and gentlemen. I firmly support the project that's being done up in Carbon County, Albany County, and every county within the state of Wyoming. But I'd like you to think of something. When you're working on these projects that's funded by AML funds, I'll guarantee you that the workers during the construction and during the operation of any project in the state of Wyoming are going to come down there and watch a basketball game. And we will more than overflow that facility. And so I would strongly urge us to support this.
Anyone for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Second time. Representative Harshman.
I just, real quick on these AML funds, they are one-time dollars. And this would be a one-time appropriation. And so there's been a lot of talk about appropriateness. I think we went through all that yesterday. And of course, these can't be used for ongoing expenses. So I think it's a great investment, one-time money. So thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last thing I want to say, we got in a box yesterday, and we don't need to be there. We can support both those projects, and I hope that you will support this amendment, which supports a very valid Marina Auditorium project.
Second time prior to the sponsor, Chairman Brown.
In the same vein, Mr. Speaker, we've got a chance to do all three. It doesn't make a mutually exclusive. It doesn't set one up against the other. We've got a chance to get all three done. That's what this amendment will do, and I urge you to support it.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 121, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All those in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 121 has been adopted. House Bill, that's our last one, right? House Bill 121. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Excused. Blickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Davison. Davison. Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley.
No.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Ronish.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 17 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 121, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 121 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the roadmap for the rest of the day. We will do second reading regular. There is a new list, a revised list of amendment orders coming out.
It's out.
It's out, so we will use it. I was going to say that we used the old one until the new one came out, but the new one's out. So use the green sheet. It'll be there. It'll be there before we're done with second reading on regular bills. Then we'll do general file. I'd like to get through about 14 bills today. So just plan to work till we get through about 14 bills. With that.
All right, we're at that order of business. Bills on second reading, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 66.
House Bill 66, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to industrial siting, financial resources.
And House Bill 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87.
House Bill 87, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to mixed martial arts.
House Bill 87, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wanitzer Dan.
Thanks. Can I get a privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the 61st, behind me, you will see Ms. Bechtel's class from Sunrise Elementary. It's about two blocks from my house. They came today to watch the process. You may have noticed Ms. Smith's class earlier up in that gallery. They couldn't get a privilege in time. But if you'd please welcome Ms. Bechtel's class.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, can I come? We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. Budget bill, House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2012, and ending June 30th, 2014.
The first amendment up for our consideration is second reading amendment number 5. Chairman Berger.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw amendment number 5.
Excuse me. Second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 has been withdrawn. We're on second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Berger.
I'm sorry, I didn't have all my things in order, and actually that's the incorrect one. It was on education, but this one, I need this one. Sorry about that.
This one meaning?
5.
Oh, okay.
I'm desperate to have this one, Mr. Chairman.
That's what I wondered. Okay, so second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize to the body on that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an oversight on the Department of Education when we were doing the School Foundation program appropriations for summer school, in particular a program called Bridges. And this is not new money or more money. This is just giving direction to make certain that they do the administration and the assessment on the program, which we have asked them to do per Statute 2113.334. And if there are no questions, I ask for a favorable aye.
Anyone for the first time, second time? Question. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1, say aye. Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. We are on second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw second reading amendment number 12.
Second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1 has been withdrawn. We're on second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is one I really want. This is, I move amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. And typically, for some of you that have not worked with the budget, we have a few technical corrections that will come throughout second and third reading as we discover any small oversights. So what we're dealing with here, and for any of you today working with your amendments, if you have them in order, unlike myself, if you use your House Bill 1, not the cheat sheet, but the thick bill, you can then follow along where you need to, and that would be the better document to be using. So with that, Mr. Chairman, the first thing that we're doing is adjusting, it was the program Youth Challenge, and basically our accounting system did some duplication in that funding of a little over $723,000. So this takes care of that and makes certain to unduplicate that. The reduction. And the next one has to do with the Department of Environmental Quality. And again, the system, we pulled all of their funding out, and this is necessary funding for them to do their operations, that $133 million. So it's critical that we put that in there. And then the third one was an oversight on CAPCON, and we just needed to make certain that it said effective immediately. That was third, and then the fourth one has to do with overlooking a position that the JAC committee voted upon in the retirement system. So that's just clarifying and adding that back in there. And then if you turn to page 2 of the amendment, we're dealing with, if you took line 4 or page 85, it is the reversion. So it's in another part of the bill, it's just making certain that we have the correct fund to revert to if the project wasn't done or it was under budget. It would go back into the Omnibus Permanent Land Fund. And then on line 7 for page 110, that would, it helps the governor have a little more time to deal with this project. And then on line 12, page 126, that is dealing with the E-rate, and this is a process that we need to do with the Department of Audit. This helps them to make certain that they do the proper transfers with reimbursement that comes from the federal government for internet funding that we do. And I think that pretty much takes care of this amendment. If there are no questions on the technical changes, I would call for a favorable aye.
Chairman Berger, may I ask you on the technical changes, does this count as a decrease or increase in actual funds, or is it all technical?
Mr. Speaker, it's basically technical.
All right.
No up or down, basically.
Okay. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1 is adopted. We're on second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. Representative Yagi.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I move, let's see. What am I saying?
Second reading amendment number 20.
Second amendment reading number 20. There you go. Thank you, sir. What I'm trying to do is just have a little discussion about the Gillette-Madison pipeline project.
This is the Wyoming Military Department under Section 7.
I was on the livestock board over there. Now I got to get on the right one. This is the military. Let me get my notes. Mr. Chair, thank you. I move second amendment number 20, second reading amendment number 20, through getting flustered here for a minute, to House Bill 2. What I'm looking at here is, as we are going through the budget, there was a proposal for $2,755,935, and upping 12 positions within the Youth Challenge Program. And I gave the courtesy of calling up the guy that's over this program, and he came up and gave me a whole bunch of information. And I believe that information, some of that or part of that, was handed out yesterday as we went over this. As I was looking for this, I just... thinking here we are in a position of declining revenues and we are increasing 12 staff at the Youth Challenge Program. And I'm wondering if right now is the time to do this. I would also like to suggest that not only for this program, but for other programs that we are going through and we will come to, it was pointed out, and I think we have all heard this discussion, that because it's a government program, it's free, we can use this, we get this, we get this. I'm wondering if it's time for us to consider that parents or guardians pay according to their income and have a little bit of responsibility. I think we say skin in the game as we're looking at these, so that's just another sideline that I have. So my amendment is going from 12 full-time employees to 6 and cutting the appropriation that was in the budget bill in half. And I had some good reasons why they need the 12, but I'll just leave it at that.
Representative Wanitzer, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would strongly ask you to resist this amendment for multiple reasons. First and foremost, there is a bill currently through the body. It's through the Senate in the House right now that if you're not, in favor of the additional programs that we're about to provide, what's happening here is we're taking this from 2 classes a year to 4 classes a year. And we'll get, the opportunity as a body here probably next week to go through why this is important, how it's going to work, what the additional positions are. But they're basically cadre leaders. You have a group of kids that You know, you have supervision over full time, 24 hours. And so if you cut six out of the plan, I'm not sure which six you cut. The ones that walk them, the ones that teach them, the one, the administrative that oversees it all, the one that deals with mentors. And I've been a mentor for this program. I've gone up twice a year for the last 6 years. And seeing firsthand the facilities these kids live in, the work that's made in their lives. I usually get two or three from my district each year in the program, because I do have one of those districts. And if you guys are familiar with my district, I have one of those districts that parents don't necessarily care about their kids. Their kids have dropped out of high school, and if you ask for the parents to give a contribution, these are the type of parents that aren't going to give a contribution or help enable their child's education through the GED program. So before we just arbitrarily start slashing six positions and we're not sure which six are going to be and where they're going to come from and if it's going to be the people that cook the meals or do the exercises or teach them or the support people for the program, I think we need a lot more in-depth study and investigation of what these people do, and we're going to get that chance next week. So certainly don't cut it out of the budget right now before we all get the full opportunity in this body, as they have in the one across the hall, to learn about how great this program is and how we're going to expand it and hopefully get more at-risk kids to get their GED. They're taking college classes now through this program. It's really jumping by leaps and bounds, and so much so that we're encouraging it and expanding it, and this really isn't the right time to, you know, go the other way.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I too rise to oppose this amendment just for the very same reasons as my good colleague from Laramie County. We do have a piece of legislation that is probably already over in this body, but there have been some recommended changes to this program which would require additional funding and additional people, and we need to have the opportunity to look at those as companion pieces, Mr. Speaker. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise on and against the amendment. And just to give you a little bit of history as to what's happening here, when we originally passed this bill, we only had two start dates. And the issue with having two start dates is if you're in danger of dropping out or you're on this borderline, because this is a voluntary program. These aren't kids who've been assigned here by a judge or various other pieces or committed infractions. This is a voluntary program for kids who are on the cusp of dropping out of school. Well, the problem is you don't drop out of school on an exact time continuum. And if you drop out and you got to wait 6 months to get involved in this program, maybe you're not going to get involved in the program. And so this gives four different start times throughout the year. And gives kids who are in that, what maybe you'd call a inflection point, the opportunity to get into this. This is one of the best things that we spend money on. And if you talk about it as ounce of cure, pound of prevention, there's over a 90% success rate. And you measure success by the fact that most of these kids either get their GED through this program or go back to high school. And then when you go even further, this is one of the only programs. We're the 26th of these to pass. And this is one of the only programs originally the U.S. military accepts your GED for, and before they drop the high school education. Most of these kids go on to the workforce and then go on to or go on to college, junior college. And so you have a high level of success rate of kids not dropping into other issues. And if you look at where dollars count, a high school dropout on average costs the state of Wyoming $1 million over their lifetime of using all these services that we struggle so hard to fight on, the Medicaid issues and Department of Corrections and a whole series of other places where these kids end up endangered. And now you have over a 90% success rate on getting these kids into a program that teaches them that fundamental discipline that they were lacking beforehand. So I'd urge you to press against this amendment.
Representative Renish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would rise on and against this amendment. I'm not going to reiterate what was said before, but, you know, this is really a good program for these kids. And I've had a parent come to me with nothing but the highest praise for what this program did for their child. So I would encourage you to oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Illaway, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, just a note based on what we were handed out the other day. The Youth Challenge Program is for eligible youth. They're high school dropouts. They must be unemployed, drug-free, and not on parole or probation for other than juvenile status offenses. It seeks to get youth back into high school, college, or the workforce with focus on education and receiving a GED. Also note on page 14, line 10 of the budget, that it says, notwithstanding Wyoming statutes, for every 40 cents of federal funds appropriated to the National Guard Youth Challenge Program, the department may expend state funds appropriated for this program an amount not to exceed 60 cents. This is a great program. It's been well taken care of. I urge the defeat of the amendment.
First time, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking against the amendment, JAC did hear this proposal and reviewed all the materials. And if you'll note, it does have the additional funding expires at the end of the new biennium. We are trying to give this program an opportunity to succeed. And at that time, during this, it will be reviewed by several different entities to make certain that the funds are used wisely. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the discussion and appreciate the info about the program. I just would like to point out that nobody in here wants to cut their program, and so they're all good, and we're just going to keep spending. I would suggest we just have a little restraint at some point. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of second reading amendment 20 to House Bill 1, please say aye. Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1 has failed. We are on second reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1. Okay. Representative Yagi, you're up again.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wong,
could I get a privilege of the floor in the meantime?
Go ahead.
Sorry procedurally to do this to the body, but once again, short window. We are privileged today to have all of our Wyoming State FFA officers, and if I could go through them with you real quick and have them stand when I call their name up in the gallery. First, Asher Markworth from Casper. Then, as a president of this year's FFA, the vice president is Courtney Yelton. The second vice president is Jack Clausen. Third vice president, Tanner Nauta. Secretary is Molly McCray. Treasurer, Braden Marshall. Reporter Abby Davidson, Sentinel Jessica Olson, Parliamentarian Faith Hoffman, and we actually have our National FFA Eastern Region Vice President here joining us today in Wyoming. His name is Kenneth Quick, and he's from New York, but we won't hold that against him, as well as the National FFA Advisor Tony Small, and then our own Wyoming FFA Association Advisor Scott McDonald. If you would welcome all of them to the gallery today.
Representative Moniz.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. We also am privileged to announce that we have the Wyoming League class in our North Gallery. 12 of the 15 members of that group is up here, and they're here to visit with us. And if you'd stand, please, we'd be glad to recognize you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move secondary amendment number 47 to House Bill 2, and another discussion just to be had. As I was walking in to get organized, this was the debate that we were having. What the heck are you doing? And I just have over the years been looking at the Livestock Board and the Ag Department, and I thought, why do we have two departments in, why do we have two instead of combining them into one? So I bring this up just for a discussion, and I think I've talked to our good ag chairman, and he's brought up some good reasons why this is not a good idea, and you'll hear them. But it's just been there. I think this bill has been introduced about, I don't know, in the last 20 years, about three times, or this effort. So I just thought it would be a good discussion to be had, and I think we're going to have a good discussion. Thank you.
Chairman Simulink.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the second bite of the apple that we've had this year on this issue. We had a bill brought by the good representative from Laramie County to take a look at this through a study, and while I would certainly support that over what we have proposed here, I would just urge you urge you caution moving this direction. The livestock board is mostly financed from self-assessments from livestock producers that it serves in this state. I just think it would be, I would rather keep it as apolitical as possible, and to just keep this conversation short, I can tell you in the 10 years I've been in the legislature, the Wyoming Livestock Board has functioned as good in the last year as it has since the beginning. So it serves the industry well, and by combining these two in this type of proposal, this budget amendment, is just way too premature, and I would urge us not to consider it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Person Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak in opposition to this measure. The Livestock Board and the Ag Board really do serve completely different functions. They're structured differently. The Livestock Board is appointed by the governor, but they hire their own director. The Ag Board is totally controlled by the executive department, and I think that not so much maybe here in Wyoming, but we can certainly see what happens to our industries and our citizens when all too much power is centralized in the executive department, and this would be, if it were to be considered at all, it needs to be a long and deliberate and careful consideration that really takes into account how it's going to affect the industry that is funding it and all of the effects on the state. So urge your opposition.
First time, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask you to oppose this amendment.
First time, Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is like this bill is like asking you to put two stud horses in the same corral. I would ask you to oppose this.
On that note. For your second time prior to the sponsor, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Yagi.
I don't think that's a very good fight to be had. I think stud horses are going to kill each other, so maybe we ought to just resist this. But I think it's a good discussion to be had, and I think the comments by both the speakers had some good points about keeping it apolitical with the livestock versus, but it's a discussion that has been going on, and I just think it's a good idea to look at places where we might be more efficient, more streamlined, and maybe these two stud horses don't belong together.
You want to withdraw the amendment, or do you want us to vote?
Let's vote on it. All right. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1, please say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1 has failed. Second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 18. What this does doesn't cost us any more money. I'm just going out of a different fund. So previously, there are three attorneys in the Attorney General's office that were getting paid, and still today get paid out of the water development account. The Attorney General came in and asked JAC to switch that from being paid out of water development account to instead pay them out of general fund. So it's the same amount that they need, it's just coming out of different accounts. And what this amendment would do is stay with how they currently are funded through water development account. This would save the general fund $500,000. I went downstairs and talked with the office down there, and my understanding, they thought they had to stop using water development accounts because one of the litigations is no longer ongoing. However, the attorneys still deal in the Natural Resource Division, which still deals with water. Well, one of them actually represents the Board of Control. So they're still doing water-related work. Maybe not all of their work is water-related because they're in natural resources, but it seemed to be appropriate to continue to fund them with water development account funds as they are being paid today with, rather than spend $500,000 out of the general fund.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd urge the body to push back on this amendment, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. We made the movement. This was originally funded by the water account, and it was part of the a litigation piece that we had to specifically take on some water issues. These attorneys are doing less and less time with water. There is a piece now that a few of them are dealing with, but it's actually moving itself down less and less, and to the point where they won't have as much with it. It's also important to let you know that this is also a major recruitment piece that you decide that you're going to keep your attorneys, you want to have it generally funded. And so as you move down and you keep it into a water account that's temporary, that has to be re-upped, or you make your commitment to these attorneys and say that we're going to have it generally funded, we're going to have a higher retention level. And if we start to lose these folks, you're going to end up having to use out-of-state counsel. And then we go south, and we're going to end up spending millions of dollars to find the same expertise. And it benefits the state to have educated in-house counsel. So I'd urge you to push back.
Representative Throne, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Historically, these are attorneys who have been funded by water. They were funded by a particular litigation fund, which is now mostly over, but they do water work. They're going to continue to do water work. They are currently involved in water litigation. This is a huge hit to the general fund and the funds from which these attorneys have been paid for years is stable. They are doing water work. This recruitment tool thing is sort of odd to me, because I can tell you as a former state employee, the last place you want to be funded is the general fund, because we all know what we do with the general fund. So I think the recruitment argument is misplaced. Certainly, I have a lot of experience with this office. I think when we need to balance a lot of needs with the general fund, it doesn't make sense to use this chunk of money out of the general fund when it's perfectly appropriate within the purposes of the water funds to pay water attorneys. Thank you. So I oppose the amendment. I support the amendment.
First time, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, for many of the reasons that were talked about with my previous House Appropriations member. But I think what's really important here is to make sure that we have experts in our Attorney General's office. Yes, there will be some flexibility for them to do some other projects, but I think that we, the state of Wyoming, have invested a lot of money in training up these folks and making certain that they can do a fantastic job representing the state of Wyoming and protecting our water. So please vote no.
Second time prior to sponsor, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to point out again, nobody's going anywhere. We're not losing any attorneys. They're getting paid the same exact salary. They've always been paid out of water development account. We'll continue to pay them out of water development account. So nothing changes with these employees. They're experts. They're in the AG's office. It's wonderful we have them. All I'm saying is, do you really want to start spending money out of the general fund where for all these years we've been paying them out of water development money? And there didn't seem to be any downside to continue to paying them out of the water development. It's where they got their funding. It's where they'll continue to get their funding. I'd urge you to vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 19. We have set up a special office downstairs called the School Funding Equity Litigation Program. They have staff. However, they have been exempted from some of the rules. And so what this does is, this doesn't cost any money. This is just clarifying how this office shall be operated. And so what it says is that their contracts, their bid requests, their bid waiver, travel requests, all that shall go to the Attorney General's office, and that staff shall report to the Attorney General, and that they'll comply with the Attorney General's annual and sick leave obligations and be compensated on the same levels as other Attorney General staff. I would just simply point out, in some of you got this the other day, it was a list of all of the staff, executive staff, of the state of Wyoming, and you'll see that number two on the list is this particular attorney. And this would put that salary back into a normal range. And I would urge you to vote aye.
For the first time, Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I rise on in support of the amendment. I think this is wholly appropriate. We do have good folks working in this office, and we appreciate the good work that they do, but we need transparency, we need accountability, and this has been something I've thought about for a long time. I appreciate the amendment, and I would urge you to vote aye.
First time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On a strong support of the amendment. Again, from the facilities issues that we've seen, I think it's really important to have the Attorney General's oversight, just like we do with every other area of that office. So encourage your strong support. Thank you.
First time, second time. Second time prior to sponsor. First time?
Or to reserve my second time.
First time, Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, on and in favor of this amendment. I've been troubled by this for a long time. We have a lot of really good attorneys in the Attorney General's office. They're all on a pay scale. I don't know why anyone ought to be compensated for full-time work for the state of Wyoming in deviation from that pay scale, and so I strongly support the amendment.
Interest for their first time, now in the second time, prior to sponsor. Representative Gingrey. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. And Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 1:15 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House will stand in recess until 1:15 p.m.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Ole.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now in House 18, and we're going to take up Senate File 3 in Gross, Secretary of State Authority, Senate File 4 in Gross, Registered Agents, Commercial Agent Registration.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Businesses, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet in room H18 at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to consider Senate File 85, General Permits, and Senate File 115, Advanced Conversion Technology Task Force Amendments.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, February 24th at 8 o'clock a.m. to consider one bill, Senate File 39, Adjustment of Child Support for an Adult Child.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H10, where we will consider Senate File 17, Game and Fish Authority Revisions.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, just a reminder, we will not be meeting this evening. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning at 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. Senate File 74 in Gross, Severance Tax Trona Evaluation.
Representative Barbudo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick announcement. You should have it in your box. You're all invited to a presentation by the Office of State Lands and Investments. They want you to join them for lunch across the way to the Hersher Building, room 1699.